Good to see you. Good to have you here. We are sort of in the background celebrating the Reformation, where the Spirit of God moved in a mighty way in the church 501 years ago to be able to bring to light the gospel message one more time. And so the Spirit's work in the church has been ongoing. We're going to be looking at the Church of Antioch again, and we spent some time last week on it. We're going to be doing 6 weeks on this completely, and hopefully to know some things about this church that can be really useful in our lives. Now, we don't want to make it so it's like, you know, who could ever be like the Church of Antioch? They were awesome. But I think they're encouraging and very instructive for us. So we're going to be looking at how the Church of Antioch was transformational within their church and then out into the community, out into the world in all of this. But it all begins with spiritual power. Now, most of us understand military power. We understand, you know, might and might makes right. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. But some people think that way. They say, I have the military power. I'm going to impose my will on you. Sometimes people want to impose their will because they have money power. Or maybe they just have, which way to the beach? I think it's that way. You know, you have that kind of muscle power, but you start looking at nuclear power, but do you have spiritual power? I think that's the thing that most of us don't even think about. And it's really a problem for us because you can do God's work man's way, but it doesn't get anything done. You got to do God's work God's way with God's Spirit, God's Word, all of it empowered by the Spirit. We can't allow ourselves to be only using our human effort. Obviously, we use our human effort, but it has to be empowered and enlivened and strengthened by the Spirit of God moving in a mighty way in our lives. And so the question I'm going to be asking is, what's your spiritual power? Are you a wimp? Are you anemic? Are you weak? Are you broken? And your spiritual power just isn't there? Well, this is the time to maybe take a look, see how we're doing with all this, and making sure that the Spirit of God is moving mightily in our lives. So the Church of Antioch, it was using and being led by the Spirit in a very powerful way. And again, I'm just going to go through this very quickly. We went through it last week, that Antioch was a very, it was an urban area, very much like Denver. We dealt with this again. I'm going to go fast here. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. It was a Greek city. It had that kind of culture there. It was free in the Roman Empire. It was a capital, so a lot of governmental things that were there. It was super duper religious. It had religions to Zeus and Apollos and Athena and all these other Greek and Roman gods that were a part of it. It was a business center. We talked about it. It was a port city, and it was a hub for transportation. They would have put an Amazon warehouse in Antioch. Might have been one of the first places they put one. And it was cosmopolitan. There were because it was sort of this crossroads place, just 30 seconds, this may or may not make sense. Here is the Mediterranean Sea with Israel over here. Okay, you see that? You got Jerusalem, then you've got Nazareth, which is up above the Sea of Galilee. You see that? Jerusalem, Nazareth, and then Damascus, and then at the top, by the time you get the northern part of Syria into Turkey, you get to Antioch. And it's sort of in that place as the Mediterranean sort of comes down, it's sort of up in that corner. So it's a crossroads, and so that means there's all these different cultures that are there, all these different languages, and it's huge cosmopolitan city, which then has the same kind of problems we do here. It becomes an outpost for the concentration of evil. When we think of urban cities, we tend to think, boy, there's a lot of bad things. When I was a kid growing up outside Washington, D.C., we were not allowed to cross the district line. Not to say that we didn't, but we were not allowed to cross the district line. And part of it was my parents wanted to protect us because the city had some dangers, even back when I was a kid many years ago. And so we have that still here in Denver, the kind of evil that can be in any kind of urban setting. Also, all the cultural tensions, racial things, the economic things, have not, all those things. And often what happens back then is what happens today. We don't go into the urban areas to share the gospel. We find ourselves saying, well, let's just go farther away, and rather than what we find in the city of Antioch, that as the gospel message goes out, they went into this urban area, shared the gospel, and the Spirit of God did some marvelous, magnificent things. So it's our example for our church today. It's the example for the, we go all the way back to the New Testament to find out what the future of our church is going to be like. So we had these seven things. I'm going to go through them quickly, but we're going to hit number one and seven today. That the Church of Antioch was a transformational church because it was empowered by the Spirit. We're going to walk through this thing, and we're going to see some really important things. I wish we had more time to go into depth. This is going to be important. They did innovational evangelism, sharing the good news. They had changed lives for God, doctrinal integrity, effectively handling conflict. They had strong leadership, which we'll be talking a little bit about. But they were also generous to the needy. These two things, being spiritually empowered and being generous, go hand in hand. And we're going to look at these two things in particular. But spiritual power. Do we even think about that? Is that even, it's like, well, no, I'm going to use my money power. I'm going to use my intellectual power. I'm going to use my personality power. But how about spiritual power? In the gospel lesson, Jesus makes it very clear that the Spirit that would come, his Spirit, would be in actually the New Testament word for, I will give you another helper, another counselor, is that the word for another in the New Testament means exactly the same. Not sort of similar, not kind of the same. No, exactly the same. So what Jesus was doing for his ministry is exactly the same of what the Spirit of God was doing. And he said he had to go so that we would have the Spirit of God. And we need that power and capability and enabling that the Spirit gives to us. So let me walk you through this for a second. So we find three times in the New Testament when you're in relationship to the Church of Antioch, three times being filled in this with the Spirit or being full of the Spirit or the Spirit's activity is indicated. One is first with Barnabas. He was filled with the Spirit. The second was with Agabus, who was prophesying by the power and enabling of the Holy Spirit. And the third one was during the worship service, the Holy Spirit calls Paul or Saul, Paul and Barnabas to be missionaries. So three times we hear and read from the scriptures that the Spirit of God is moving in this church, either through the two individuals or the church at large as they were worshiping. So the two things I want to walk you through right now is that when the Holy Spirit is working in this church, which we want to say we want to have this happening in our church, is that the Holy Spirit is empowering the leadership, but it's also empowering the whole congregation to be generous. And these things all sort of tie together. So let's look at these one at a time. So we have church leadership that the Spirit of God is empowering and enabling. So we got Barnabas. Barnabas is one of those cool guys. If you ever want a wonderful study, just go ahead and just study the book, study the life of Barnabas. He's one of these great and magnificent New Testament characters, much to be followed in our discipleship. For Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. He had that sense of confidence that God was doing a great thing and that God would accomplish a great thing. Many people came and the church grew because of his ministry and his message. Wonderful guy here. So he's sent from the church of Jerusalem. This is really hard to sort of understand. The church of Jerusalem really wasn't that healthy in many ways because it was a Jewish church and they couldn't separate sort of their culture, their Jewishness from the Christianity that was now supplanting and in many ways was filling what was sort of the dry bones and bringing together all of the life that we were supposed to have in Jesus Christ. And they still wanted to be Jewish Christians. They didn't just want to be Christians. And it's only in Antioch, or it begins in Antioch, where they're called Christians. They're not called Jews. Because most people thought that Christians was just a subcategory of Judaism. And so he sent from the church of Jerusalem because the weirdest thing ever happened is that when there's this dispersion because of a persecution of all these people in Jerusalem, they all get sent out and spread out throughout the Roman Empire. And as they're going, they're telling other people about Jesus, but they're only telling Jews. So Jews are telling other Jews as they go to other synagogues and things, and they're not telling anybody else. Except for these guys from Cyrene and Cyprus. And they start doing this weird thing. They start just talking to anybody. Crazy on that. And the next thing you know, people became believers. And the Spirit of God fell upon them. They were converted and they had faith in Jesus. And their lives, you know, they came underneath the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. All these wonderful things. And the people in Jerusalem heard about these non-Jews becoming Christians. And they're like, what's going on here? Barnabas, go you there for it. And he goes there and he's all excited. He says, this is great. He's happy about it. And as he then becomes their pastor, leads and guides them, he goes and gets Paul to assist him. And so for a whole year, they're teaching from the Word of God, which would be the Old Testament, and the Spirit of God is leading them in all this. And Barnabas is one of these Spirit-filled leaders that allows the church to grow, allows the church to be able to go beyond just the demographic of Judaism, but to the whole world, which was Jesus' intent. He says, go and be my disciples, beginning in Jerusalem. And you start there, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world. Go and make disciples of all nations, all ethnic groups. Everyone was supposed to hear the gospel. Barnabas saw that that was what was happening. He jumps on board and starts leading. So what's it mean to be full of the Spirit? Now, there's all kinds of stuff we could talk about, but the simplest way, and I think the most accurate way, is to understand it means to be controlled or guided by the Spirit. The classic passage is that where it says, the scripture says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That is, don't be controlled by this alien substance of alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit, be controlled and guided by that. And actually, the next thing I have there, being surrendered to it, in that we submit to the Spirit's leading and guiding. That it's not just enough that we mentally acknowledge it, that our lives come in alignment with it. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done, or your will be done, we do so with the understanding that the Spirit of God is leading and guiding us in all this. Really wonderful stuff on this. But it's a sense of acquiescing, saying my will is not going to be first. What I want doesn't go first. But I go, my will is now in subjection. And if I, well, maybe I can try. I didn't do very well. If you were to bend the knee and kneel, do a little T-bowing on that, where you bend the knee in submission. Now, we don't like submission. That's the last thing in the world we want. But real freedom is found when you're filled with the Spirit of God, full of the Spirit of God, and we surrender to that. And then that kind of commitment, that kind of change brings about a change in our character, which we find in the fruit of the Spirit. Again, the love, the joy, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those things that are listed in Galatians 5. That becomes a part of being filled with the Spirit. And then the Spirit of God, which gives us the Scriptures, is what leads us then and guides us. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we read the Scriptures, we follow what the Scriptures say. The Holy Spirit leads and guides the church here to send out the first missionaries. Now, the other people should have been sent out, but they didn't. And it wasn't until this kind of dispersion because of persecution takes place that people did go out. But now they're being intentional. And now the message of the gospel isn't just going to these Jewish people. It's going to Gentiles. And listen to what it says here about the leadership that they had. In Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3. Now there were, I jumped two chapters, I've been doing mostly Acts chapter 11, we're in chapter 13. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. So this church has now grown. It's got a level of leadership and instruction that's going on so that they can grow in their faith. And here's some of the guys, here's their staff. Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, I guess Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, who we know as St. Paul. So that's their basic church leadership and those who are leading them in an understanding of God's word and the Christian faith. While they were worshiping, though, it goes on to say, the Lord, worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, so now here the Spirit of God is working in a worship service and prayer service, and the Spirit of God comes upon the congregation and says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, it's very interesting for me as this, and I don't want you to get any ideas too fast, even though I will be having a meeting we have 7 meetings talking about our 5-year plan and all this other stuff. But within this, you need to sort of think about what they were saying. They were saying, okay, we're going to take our lead pastors, Saul and Barnabas, and we're going to send them on a mission trip. Now, some of you are like, hey, good idea. I think let's get Pastor Cameron out of here. And I said, well, why don't you go do some mission work somewhere? Which is actually the kind of thing, maybe that's what's going to happen. The church was being led by the Spirit. They took not just new people. They took their best people, their most experienced people, and said, you go out there and share the gospel with all these Gentiles. The first missionaries. What's interesting, it came from Antioch. It didn't come from Jerusalem. God is moving in a mighty way in this town and in this church, this urban church, to do a great and mighty work to go out throughout the whole world. Now, we're going to, again, it's almost hard to live up to this church because it has so many wonderful things. We're going to find out how good they are back to the church in Jerusalem. But they're like, no, we're going to take our very best because God wants us to share the gospel with everyone. So it's beautiful here. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding their leadership so that they would know the Word of God, be taught by the Word of God, and then they sent their leadership out to even do even more teaching and more preaching of the gospel on that. Second thing here is the Holy Spirit moves in a mighty way for the church to be generous. This is an ongoing part of where you can see the fruit of the Spirit in the church's life is this sense of generosity. They gave graciously. Now, they did give generously. I'm not saying that that's not there. But they gave graciously to the church in Jerusalem. Let me read to you this, and I'll come right back to this in a minute. It says here in Acts chapter 11, back to 11 here, that one of them, that is one of these prophets and teachers, one of them named Agabus stood up in the church at Antioch and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, and here's sort of your generosity principle of the day, everyone according to his own ability. So it wasn't like everybody had to give an equal amount. They gave a sort of equal sacrifice as they were going to be generous. But each one had to decide that. And we always talk about that. I could give you the 2 Corinthians 9, that as you have purposed in your heart, you are to be generous in supporting the church and the work of the Lord. But everyone, according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. Now, this is, and so they did it, and they sent generous gift get ready for this famine by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. But again, you have to remember, the church of Antioch wasn't the first choice of the church of Jerusalem. They were not thrilled. There's all this controversy about, well, I don't know. Don't they have to become Jews first? Don't they have to get circumcised? Don't they have to still follow all of the kosher laws and all this? And you're just going to let them be saved by faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing? And which is sort of a good Reformation sermon for the day. And they struggled with that. The church of Jerusalem wasn't all that excited to commingle and have fellowship with all of these non-Jewish people. They spent a whole lifetime excluding themselves from all these Gentiles, trying to pull themselves away. They wouldn't even go into the house of someone that wasn't Jewish. They just didn't want to have anything to do with them. They were unclean. They were considered as dogs. They were like the worst of the worst. If you weren't Jewish, you were nothing. And the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with anybody else. And these Jewish Christians still have that sort of hanging over in part of their thinking in all of this. And then you got this church of Antioch who has been sort of prejudiced against. And they're like, oh, let's go ahead and share generously with all these Jewish brothers of ours, our Christian brothers of ours, of Jewish heritage. And they're good and gracious. That's actually the thing I wanted to share in all this. That the Spirit of God says, oh, yeah, that's because you guys didn't understand. Spirit of God is moving and we're learning new things. And it's very exciting. And I'm not going to hold that against you. We're going to be glad to help you out. Wow. Pretty amazing. But amazing things happen when the Spirit of God works in your life. The world would not understand it. You would hold a grudge. So it's going, okay, well, you know, that'll teach them. You know, they should have helped us out when they were holding the gospel only to themselves, that they didn't want to share it with anybody else. But they didn't hold that against them. They're like, no, you're our brothers and sisters in Christ. They were excited to do it. Beautiful. The Church of Antioch is a transformational church because the Spirit of God is moving in a mighty way. So let's just look at the summary of what's going on in the Church of Antioch. And then maybe by analogy, we can see how our own lives is that they're guided by the Spirit. I mean, when they pray, they're not just sort of saying their prayers by rote. They're really saying, God, what do you want for my life? What is your will for my life? What is your will for this community of faith? How are we going to do all these things? They were submissive to once the word of the Spirit of God had come to them. The word of God had come to them. They obeyed that. They started living by the fruit of the Spirit. And they did. There was all this praying and fasting and worshiping, all by the power of the Spirit. And that leads to a level of generosity, which I should also throw out. We as a congregation have opportunity. I never did figure out how to make this thing. Somebody kept saying, I'll do that for you. But I was like, no, I'm going to learn to do this myself. Anyway, this can turn into a box, they say. This is the Operation Christmas Child, which right now our church is very generous. You guys have been great over the years and years. There's been this huge generosity, beginning usually with this particular example, where it's like all these Christmas gifts all go to children who are outside the country. So that's why the collection takes place in the next 2 or 3 weeks, so that it can start traveling. And then we start doing things for Thanksgiving with Thanksgiving baskets. Then we start doing things for more locally with our Christmas giving tree. And you guys do all kinds of things. I saw that the Salvation Army is the bell ringing thing is over there in our hallway. We connect with other Christians doing other, I mean, this isn't a Lutheran thing. This is, who is this? Samaritan Purse. I think that's out of the Billy Graham, Franklin Graham program. But we connect with them so that the Spirit of God that's moving in this group, we just join with them. And the same kind of thing that's happening locally, how can we be a blessing? How can we share God's love in a very practical way? That's what the Spirit of God does. It helps us love people as God has loved us in Jesus Christ. His atoning sacrifice isn't just for Jewish people. It isn't just for Lutheran people. It isn't just for American people. It's for everyone. So may God bless us as we ask the question, am I a person of spiritual power? Or am I just doing God's work my way rather than doing God's work his way? And so I'm going to call Lori up because I'm done, by the way. Amen. Lori, come on down. Come on down. Lori Hakes, our children's ministry director. We had a wonderful time last Sunday. Did you have a wonderful time last Sunday?
I had a wonderful time, yes.
So everybody's glad to see you. I think you have words of thanksgiving to give.
Yes, I just wanted to thank everybody for attending and supporting the children's ministry and so many adults that helped. It was wonderful. And Nick and the teenagers, I want you to know, were a humongous help. So, and the staff really jumped in too. So we really have some great people helping. The kids had fun with their treats and games and photo booth and
Do you have any other activities that are coming?
So looking forward, it's all things Christmas. Starting today, our cross training kids started practicing for their Christmas program, which is December 9th at 11 o'clock. And in 2 weeks, we're going to be assembling Operation Christmas Child boxes. So let me know. I could use one volunteer to help with that. If there's one person here that would be willing to help me with the task for that. So, and then we have the live nativity as well. Everything's on the website. So we're looking forward. I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year.
Thank you so much, Lori. Speaking of the live nativity, I don't know if you saw out on the back area, we bought some bleachers that will assist us in having more people in a more organized way to be able to have the live nativity work out very well. I love the camels and all the things that are a part of that. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you so much that your spirit moves in our lives. We ask that we might use his empowering in our lives to do your work. May we be led and guided as we seek your will through our prayers and through your word, and as we work together as your church to do the good news spreading in this area. Help us to be able to be creative in the way we share the gospel and to do it in a loving and winsome way. All this we ask in your name. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. And please join me. It's my favorite one. I always love this one. Actually, this goes back to an old buddy of mine, a pastor from the Nassau Bay, Houston area. This was his benediction, and just a beautiful one. Let's say it together. The good Lord go before you to lead you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, beneath you to uphold you, above you to protect you, within you to inspire you. Go with the peace and power of Almighty God. Amen.